Okay, well, morning, everybody. All right, why don't you open your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said in verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. And will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." They asked Jesus three questions. You know, because they would take him around and show him all the various buildings there. Buildings of the temple. Jesus had asked him, he said, "Well, do you see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left there upon another that shall not be thrown down." Well, they asked him there at the Mount of Olives. They came to him privately and they said, "Well, tell us, when will this be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" There were three questions in there. You know, the scripture tells us these are the last days. That was written 2,000 years ago. Peter said, it's the last hour. This is the last dispensation. The prophets don't talk of any other after this one. At least with the old covenant under the law of Moses in Jeremiah 31:31, we knew there was another covenant coming, or the Jews did, because God told them, "I'm going to make another covenant. Ain't going to be like this one. It's going to be different." It will contain some different things, different characteristics. "I will put my law in their mind. I will write it right on their heart. I will be their God. They will be my people. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more." So they were looking forward to that. Well, this is that. This is that time. There isn't another one. This is it. He said, "You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." It is the landscape of the battlefield. I could turn you to the book of Revelation and open up some things there for you, but I believe you see that right in, like, in the beginnings of Revelation, say around, chapter 4, the landscape of the battleground. Because Jesus did accomplish his earthly mission, he was highly successful. That allowed for this age to usher in. Had he not been successful, we wouldn't be talking about it. Never would have existed. The earth would have been gone. But he was successful. "It is finished," he said from the cross. And he who first descended into the lower parts of the earth also ascended, took his place at the right hand of the majesty on high, ever living to make intercession for us. This is it. Nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. We got trouble in some of our streets right now. You know, the Bible says in Noah's day the earth was filled with violence. Gee whiz, you know, they're trying to take the city of Mosul back in Iraq. They found a grave with a whole bunch of people with their heads cut off. Just violence, man. And it's going to be house to house. Those crazy ISIS guys ain't going to give up. And if it ain't there, it's going to be somewhere else. Had earthquakes in, what, Italy, what, last week? Something like that. You know, some bad earthquakes. And what the heck is a Zika virus? I mean, pestilence, disease, sickness. Crazy world. You know, 1 John 5 tells us, we've looked at it before, 1 John 5, 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come, has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and that we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one. This is an intelligent evil. And the landscape of the battleground for this final great battle is God brings forth the kingdom. Paul said, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. It always was going to be that way. And so it is. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and you see that in Matthew chapter 4, when the tempter took him to an exceeding high mountain, in verse 8, it said it showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I give you if you fall down and worship me. Luke's context says he showed him all those kingdoms and their glory in a moment of time. Just like that. Man, that's power. We are talking, there's some serious spiritual power working in this crazy world of ours. We are not to worry about that or be troubled by that. You're not going to change the world. God's going to change you, and he's going to change me. He's going to change whosoever will. That's what he does. He don't change this crazy world. He calls his people, as Peter described it. He's called you out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. Jesus would say in John 8 and 12, he spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in that darkness, but have the light of life. You know, we have a compelling message. Because you know what? I mean, I try to stay informed, and you know, I was watching on the news, and some of them talking heads got on there. The people are really scared, you know, because of this now. They're really scared. Everybody just really scared. Well, I'd be scared, too, if people ran around smashing my windows in and jumping up and down the top of my car. I'd be scared, too. Easy. People need some kind of hope here. They're not going to find it in this world, not in a political system. And I'm not talking about just the United States. I'm talking about nowhere in the world. Now, government is of God. The Bible tells us that. And that people, God's people, are supposed to, you know, obey the laws of the land, pay their taxes. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't bad people in government, but the idea of government, you know, it's funny, the Bible doesn't say what kind of government specifically, whether it's a republic or even a dictatorship or, you know, socialism, communism, you know, monarchies or whatever. You know, Jesus lived in a pretty rough time as far as where the government was concerned. And he didn't push for an overthrow of Caesar. He was going to call his people out of that into another kingdom. The kingdom of God. That was going to be here on the earth, prophesied. Now, of course, the Jews thought that was going to be a physical kingdom. You know, that Messiah would reign from Jerusalem, you know. And Elijah would resurrect from the dead. And they'd overthrow the Romans or something. Jesus said, look, the kingdom of God don't come with observation. When they tell you, lo here or lo there, don't go. He said, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you or among you. It's here. He said, if I'm casting out demons by the finger of God, know this, the kingdom of heaven has come to you 2,000 years ago. Some of you, he said, won't die till you see it come with power. Well, they had an idea in their head what that was going to look like, but it was going to be bigger than that, better than that, actually. When we go over here and do the Bible studies with men and the guys in Vietnam in secret, man, that's the kingdom of God. From every nation under heaven. I go right from there into Burma to get with Graham and all those saints there. Believe in the same thing. Take communion on the first day of the week. Baptized for the mission of sins. Kingdom of God. Belarus, Big Mike has been posting his stuff. He's over there right now. In fact, he leaves tomorrow. Mike Harbor. So he's with the saints. Well, they've already, it's almost 8 o'clock at night there. They've already had communion. You know? But you know what? Same, same. Like precious faith. Every nation under heaven. That's the kingdom of God. Under King Jesus. He's the head. King of kings. Lord of lords. I'm a light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Chapter 12. Verse 46, I've come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in the darkness. He calls us out of that violence. We talked about some of the crazy stuff that goes on in this world. Half the people don't even know what they're doing or why they're doing it. You got examples of that in the Bible. Great is Diana of the Ephesians, and the whole city was in an uproar. The city clerk had to come and go, what are you guys doing? Half of them didn't even know what they were doing there. They just got caught up in the protest. Don't you have better things to do? You know, when our thoughts are all jumbled up and we don't know what we're doing, you know, that's our hope is, you know, we read it in our meeting this morning. The guys, you know, I like that 2 Timothy 1:7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. We could use a whole lot of sound mindness in the world today. We don't have people with sound minds. They're running totally on their emotions, and they sway this way and that way and unstable. In fact, I didn't write it down, but I guess I'll just give it to you anyway. You know, the scripture talks about a certain kind of wisdom. James 3 and 13, think about this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts and well, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, demonic. For where there's envy and self-seeking existing, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that's from above is first, it's pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom that's from above versus wisdom that is from the earthly. Well, you know, in this crazy world, you are either a part of the solution or you are a part of the problem. God said, I set before you good and evil, life and death. Now choose life. Hint, hint, hint. Who's wise and understanding among you? Well, then demonstrate it. Show it. By what? Good conduct. Practicing righteousness, true holiness. That our works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if it's the opposite of that, self-seeking, earthly, the envy, self-seeking, confusion, every evil thing, That's the other wisdom. It's from the flesh. It's from the earth. It's from the other guy. People need hope. Jesus said in Matthew 11, I like this. This is my verse. It's a verse that called me years ago. Verse 28, you know it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly at heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. When you see all the tormented souls out there today, you know, I think it was last week I did the lesson. We were actually reading part of that quote right out of Hebrews chapter 12 there about what we've actually come to. We've come to Mount Zion. If you're in Christ, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and this, to the spirits of just men made perfect. There's a lot of people out there that are in turmoil. When they're in turmoil, they act out in inappropriate ways. Maybe sometimes violence or substance abuse, which will lead them into other problems, dysfunction, wrecks the home, wrecks their personal lives, hurts innocent people many times. But that's the darkness of this world. But Jesus said, come to me if you don't like your life like that. Come to me, you who are laboring, heavy laden, being squished like bug. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly at heart. You'll find rest for your soul. That's appealing. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He's the light of the world, so we don't have to be in that darkness anymore. Look, you're bound by your nature. We've all had a nature set to the flesh. He actually, in writing to the Christians in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul reminds them how previously they were dead. Ephesians 2 and 1, he made you alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature, quite naturally, children of wrath, just as others. Yes, we've been there and done that. We were a part of the problem previously. You're bound by your nature. A dog is going to act like a dog. Don't be surprised if you let the dog out and he comes back and lays a dead thing on the porch and starts chewing on it, a dead possum or something out of the road. I hear the comments starting, so everybody knows how that goes. Or maybe the neighbor's newspaper or something like that. Or maybe the neighbor's kid's cowboy boots. I think that's how that went. Dogs will do that. They're dogs. They are bound by their nature. No sense in beating them, because that's what dogs do. They don't understand any different. There was a time when there was no light in our lives. You know what the Old Testament says? I think it's the last verse in the book of Judges. When there was no king in Israel, then everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Look, if there's no standard to guide you, What else are you going to do? You're going to do something. Your mind isn't going to be blank. You have a mindset. Now, B.C., before Christ, that mindset was set to the flesh. And Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Now, he's referring to himself, B.C. He said, nothing good dwells. Nothing. Jesus would say, rather emphatically, there is none good but God. So where does that leave everybody else? Well, B.C., not in too good a shape. Now, granted, I've been sharing some things. Hope you're tracking with me on that. When the scripture said that God said, let us make man in our image, that's his intention. It always was. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him, the us is Christian, in him is in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. That what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. There is no human being, B.C., that is capable of being holy and without blame before God in love. You have to be regenerated. Now that is the image of God. Unregenerated people aren't going to get there by themselves. They don't have the faith to do it, nor do they have the power to do it. That's what being born again is all about. So the people in this world that are feeling frustrated and they're acting out violently, they're afraid, they need to come to Christ if they want to find rest for their souls. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 that God will keep him in perfect peace, that individual whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. That's true in both Testaments. God can take our scrambled up thoughts and go linear with them. I use that as just my understanding when I think of people's thoughts or even my own thoughts in times past. When you don't know what to do, your thoughts are all jumbled up. And if your thoughts are all jumbled up, you're going to feel stress. And when you feel stress, you're going to act out. You're going to do something. Generally inappropriate. Because you're going to bug other people. As they bug you. Because they're stressed out. Because they don't know what they're doing. Easy. Christ really can give us rest for our souls. There ain't no politician going to do that, folks. Don't, you can't trust in that. That's not their job anyway. There's certain things they're supposed to be doing. And there's a whole lot of personal responsibility for the people. A lot of times people don't want to be responsible. They want somebody to do it for them. Look, that ain't going to work. That is not going to work. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth. Man, not just the preacher or the elder. Every individual is responsible before God. Look, that's who you're going to judgment. Just you. And you're going to be accountable for you. The president ain't going with you. Or mom and dad or whoever else, you going by yourself to receive for the deeds done in your body, good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, Paul says. Take responsibility. You know, there was a jingle in one of them songs, kind of like a Christian song. I can show you where to look, but you got to seek to find. And that's what the scripture's all about. The Bible helps us. The Bible gives us the information. We can show you where to look, but you got to seek to find. We've all walked according to the prince of the power of the air, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were quite naturally children of wrath just as other. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we was in that state, even when we was dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, and by grace we've been saved. He raised us up and made us sit together now, present tense, in the heavenly places, in the Spirit, Walk in the Spirit, Paul said, and you won't fulfill the desires of your flesh anymore. The Spirit that God has given us is to help us. We set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. The earth is broken. It's broken. But keep looking at the earthly things, it's going to suck us right into it. Don't forget, if you've come out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, if you have been born again of water and Spirit, we're to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 drives that point home. And we've got to remember the biggest, shortest verse of the whole Bible almost. Jesus said in Luke 17 and 32, now remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Why would Jesus want us to remember Lot's wife? Because they were supposed to be getting out of Dodge, man. They were supposed to be heading for the hills, and they were told to get up and go by the angels that took Lot and his wife and two daughters. Get out of here. Man, they were supposed to be running for their lives and not look back. But you know the story. Lot, his wife, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, I've been in that area, and it is a barren, salt flat, wasted land. And it dawned on me when I was there, when the Lord said, remember Lot's wife, and she turned into a pillar of salt. I realized, yeah, that's right. If you look back, you will become part of the landscape. You came out of the world. And if you look back, now the Antiquities that I read said that she looked back with desire. Jesus said, anyone putting his hands to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Demas, Paul said, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. We're told by John in 1 John 2:15, don't love the world nor the things in the world. For all that's in the world, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life is of the world. It's not of God. And this world is passing away. Remember, Jesus said, Lot's wife. Because she did. She looked back and became part of the landscape. You know what, Spinotti did that lesson one time. You guys, some of you guys remember Jim Spinotti. He said, if he was ever arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Yeah, it's kind of funny, but you can see what he's saying. Would there be enough evidence? What do we look like? The world? Or the light that called us out of the world? You know, it says that Jesus was in the Big John, the Gospel of John, that he was the light of the world that lights every man. How's he word that? Give light to every man who cometh into the world. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The true light. Big John 1 and 9. The true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Man, we really have a choice set before us now. You know what? 2,000 years ago, that light came into the world so we didn't have to abide in the darkness. Yet the darkness is still just, it's thick. And it's going to stay that way. Individuals will come out of it. Many called, few chosen. Few cold and many frozen. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves to whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet now you've obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine to which you were delivered. And having now been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. He said, look, I'm speaking to you in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Now look, he said, just as you have presented your members of your body as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members of your body, slaves of righteousness, for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you was free in regard to righteousness. Well, what fruit did you have then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For then to those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For look, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's trying to help them, these Romans, who are Christian too, by the way. They have been born again. But they've got to understand what they've come to. They've got to realize, as Dr. Carolyn Leaf, for some of you that have read her book about switching on the old brain here, she brings out a principle which is absolutely biblically correct. Choice is the most powerful thing in the known universe next to God himself. It's choice. You remember what Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Paul said, look, don't you know that to whom you present yourselves as a slave to obey, you are that one slave to whom you obey? Whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness, you know, we don't have to act crazy out there. Now, granted, I said earlier, we're bound by our nature. Those unregenerated people out there jumping up and down on top of cars and throwing rocks through people's windows, they are responsible for that, and they ought to be dealt with. I have to act like that. But there are things that run deep in the human being, man, the darkness of a person's heart. Jesus said, that's where the evil come from. It's not external from you. It comes from within you, he said. To eat with dirty hands ain't going to kill you. He said, it's from the heart proceed the evil thoughts, the thefts, the murders, the fornications, the blasphemies, and defile the man. All the tempter does, you know, the devil don't put that stuff in you. He would if he could. All he does is reveal it. That's why he's called the tempter. That's all he's got to do. All he has to do is pan whatever your weakness is in front of your powerful, powerful brain, your powerful mindset. People of the world are taken captive by him to do his will. There ain't nothing they're going to be able to do. That's why you cannot, those in the flesh cannot please God, Paul said. You can't do it. The only way a person can overcome the darkness of this world and overcome the wicked one is with divine assistance through truth, the faith that comes by hearing the word of God, and power, man, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only thing the devil can't fight, man. Other than that's why there ain't no fix in the world. But he calls the individual out. Paul said, don't you know? Now, don't be yielding yourself. Don't present yourselves as slaves to obey that old way anymore. What fruit, he said, did you have in those things which is now ashamed? Man, the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit now in the holiness. And then, man, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death. It always has been. It always will be. But God gives a solution. Don't you know, he said, if many of us was baptized into Jesus Christ, or baptized into a death, just as then we, therefore we are buried with him through that baptism, that immersion into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in new life. New life, knowing that our old man, old nature, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away or rendered inoperative, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Wow. Pretty powerful. Gift of God. Even while we were, Paul said, even when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, he is bending over backwards to save the people. If we were... God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were sinners, yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we'll be saved from wrath through him. I'm in Romans 5 and 9. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, well, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow. God was willing to do that much for us when we were crazy. Now we can come out of that darkness into the light. And that's what people want all over this world. But you know what? When Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and let's go. If you seek to save your life, he said, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to give up your life for my sake and the gospel, you'll save your life. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Take up your cross and follow me. Paul said, I am dead to this world, and it is dead to me. For in, he says, Christ Jesus, verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything but a new creation. And he's just getting that dig in there against the religious guys, the Jews, who had their form of religion and all their rules and regulations had all been done away in Christ. All that was a shadow to bring us to Christ. Law being a schoolmaster. God did away with that system, ushered in a new system, a faith-based system in Christ Jesus, which makes us now, as we're called out of that darkness and into the marvelous light, we get a whole new chance to start over, being born again and called new creations. Absolutely new. Clean slate, starting all over. And you got to develop that new mindset, though. Peter said you got to start with the basics, with the milk, and go on up to the meat, you know, grow. And greater the faith, greater the power, the strength that we have. Remember, Paul said that our citizenship in Philippians 3 and 20 is in heaven. That's where we're really at. He says in Colossians 1 and 13, he has transferred us into the kingdom of his son. I am an American citizen by birth, and I am a Christian by choice. In the exercise of my free will, when I was obedient to the gospel, the Bible says in Acts 2 and 47, those being added to the church daily by the Lord adding to the church. That was a choice I made 34 years ago. I was born an American citizen, but my citizenship now is in heaven. But I have a responsibility now. I have a duty now. And I need to take that responsibility, realizing I've been set free of my captivity to sin, that now I can submit myself to be a slave to righteousness to God by my choice. He gets the glory, and we get the victory. Thanks for your attention this morning.